The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. What a busy Wednesday we have for you today. Bob Dio, my engineer producer, on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, Wednesday, March 13th, 2018. Listening to 1030 Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. That's also the place for all of our podcasts, available on your schedule 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is now open, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. We begin with the Buckmaster Show contributor on health. She is Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She's an internationally recognized leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook Women's Integrative Health and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Let's go now to the University of Arizona. On the live line, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes, what a big week for the University of Arizona and the Integrative Medicine Center with your colleague, integrative medicine pioneer, Dr. Andrew Weil, yesterday committing $15 million to name the UA Center for Integrative Medicine, and that brings Dr. Weil's total of giving to $20 million. And in addition, there are three endowed chairs that will be in Dr. Weil's name. Big week for you.
Yes, it's so exciting. We are now the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine, and happily for your listeners, I have Dr. Weil right here.
Oh, good. I was hoping Hello. That you would. Hi, Dr. Weil.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, sir. Congratulations. This is it's so generous, and it's such a fitting tribute to the millions of people who have benefited over the years, over decades now, from integrative medicine. How do you feel about this whole situation?
Well, I am delighted finally to have the full support of the university. Dr. Robin said, it's late in coming, but better late than never, and we waited a long time, and it's just wonderful to see all this come together.
And we have the three endowed chairs. Dr. Weil, could you briefly explain those to us?
Victoria will now be the Andrew Weil Professor of Integrative Medicine.
Great.
Esther Sternberg will be the Andrew Weil Research Professor of Integrative Medicine, and I hold a chair, the Lovell Jones Professor of Integrative Medicine.
All of this, really, when you think back more than 20 years, a gentleman who we both know, Jim Dallin, who really, at the time, he was then the Vice President of Health Sciences, he kind of took a big chance, didn't he?
He did, and he got a lot of flack for it. He was there yesterday with his wife sitting in the front row, and I acknowledged him in my remarks. He was the first medical school dean to go out on a limb to support integrative medicine, and he looks back at that as the achievement he's most proud of during his tenure as dean.
This has become mainstream by most practitioners in the United States, and I remember 20 years ago that wasn't the case. When we talked over the years, there was all this
true.
There was this resistance. How would you characterize the level of integrative medicine as fitting in now to the American healthcare system?
Well, I think it's the future of the American healthcare system, which is in deep trouble. I think that integrative medicine can produce better outcomes at lower costs, and we hope to demonstrate that when we open our integrative primary care clinic in Tucson early next year.
You have given, as I mentioned, your total giving now is $20 million, but this $5 million has been given along the way. You have believed in this since day one, haven't you?
Yes, I've always known, even when there was no support, that this was the right path, and I'm very glad that I stuck with it.
Can we briefly promote, Dr. Weil, this event that is coming up? I believe you're going to be speaking with a colleague in the medical profession about
yes.
Integrative medicine. Could you give us kind of the quick rundown?
I'm going to let Dr. Okay. Mazes do that.
All right.
Give you back to her.
Okay.
Good to talk to you.
Congratulations, Dr. Weil. All right. Dr. Mazes.
Yes, I am here.
Yes, congratulations, because
thank
now you.
You
will be all part of this as far as the one of the three endowed chairs, as Dr. Weil articulated. We congratulate you on that. Could you give us the details of this event that's coming up? Because our listeners, I think, would be very interested in hearing Dr. Weil. It's a debate, in effect, isn't it?
Yes. So Dr. Irving Krohn, who is the dean, the interim dean of the College of Medicine, challenged Dr. Weil to a debate on intervention versus prevention. Dr. Krohn is a cardiac surgeon, and so we'll be speaking to the importance of cardiac surgery and interventional medicine, and Dr. Weil will be speaking about the importance of health promotion and prevention, which are pillars of integrative medicine.
Give us a little bit about how you first came to join the team for integrative medicine with Dr. Weil. When did you first team up with Dr. Weil?
Well, I came to the University of Arizona in 1998 to be a fellow in integrative medicine. I at that time, had been in practice for 9 years in Northern California. I deeply believed that we needed to get to the roots of illness, which for me included looking at lifestyle sources. I had begun studying integrative medicine up in Northern California. But wanted to take a much deeper dive, and so I moved to Tucson with my husband and three young children and became a fellow. And then as I was completing my fellowship in 2000, Dr. Weil asked if I would step in as the director.
How has this changed, or how will this commitment by Dr. Weil, how is this going to change your mission at the center?
I don't know that it'll change the mission. I think it will expand the impact of our mission. We will have a new partnership with Banner to open an integrative primary care clinic, which means that we'll be able to do outcomes research comparing the care of people who receive integrative medicine with the more typical Western medical care. We will have a brand new building, which will be a healthy building, so it'll pay attention to light and the vistas you see out the window. There'll be gardens, there'll be a kitchen, there'll be an opportunity to do education in that room with people who need to learn more about healthy lifestyle. We will be able to measure things like the carbon dioxide and other chemicals in the space, the ideal light and sound that helps people feel healthiest and most productive and least stressed. So it'll be a really unique building that we build, and then it will allow for us to grow our educational programs even more expansively than we have grown them to date.
All right. Do you know where that building will be, or is that?
It will be on the U of A campus, which is exciting, and will place us at the center. And there's been a little bit of discussion because there are a few great options, and it hasn't been narrowed to just one site yet.
All right. Let's do this. We're going to take the break, Dr. Mazes. Then we're going to change subjects, talking about antidepressants. And how folks, if they do want to get off them, what's the best way to do that? So stay with us, Dr. Mazes, and we will get back to you in a few moments. But my favorite bakery in town is presenting this portion of the Buckmaster Show. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. So many exciting things going on up at Mona's, including Steve and his team up there ready to go within a few days now with the hot breakfast. They'll be serving a hot breakfast at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. But right now, Why wait for breakfast? It's time for lunch. Go by Mona's Danish Bakery, and why not a sandwich and that bread that they just came out of the oven a couple of hours ago? Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. Go to monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link on my website to Mona's Danish Bakery. And, of course, my website is buckmastershow.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Victoria Mazes, 790-2040, if you would like to join in on the conversation. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice. We are trusted local news and talk. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Green Things and Zocalo, which is part of the Green Things family now, where they have an extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and gifts, plus, of course, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, and annuals, and more at Green Things, open daily, 3384 East River Road, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com or Zocalo, ZOCALOVillage.com. Let's go back now on the live line to the newly named University of Arizona Weill Center for Integrative Medicine. Dr. Victoria Mays is our contributor on health, and she is the executive director at the Weill Center. Dr. Mays, how to quit antidepressions? Antidepressants. That's something that many patients have struggled with. What's the latest thinking there among the medical profession on how to get off antidepressants?
Well, this is a really important study that came out just recently in The Lancet Psychiatry. And up until now, the clinical guidelines have said that you should taper off medicine over a few weeks to a few months. But what they showed in this study was that that's just too fast, that when people taper off that quickly, they really don't tolerate the discontinuation, and they often have a lot of very severe withdrawal symptoms.
Like what would be considered a good time frame then to get off these things?
Right. So amazingly, in this study, they found that you had to reduce them by exponentially smaller amounts, and that it could take between 9 months and 4 years. Now, you know, this isn't going to be every single person who has to go off of them so slowly. If you're on a lower dose, you might be able to go off more quickly if you've been on it just a short time. But what happens in the brain is that these medicines, the name, for example, SSRI, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, what it does is it changes the receptors in the brain. And so the brain thinks, well, there's lots of serotonin around, and I don't have to do very much work making my own serotonin. I don't have to have lots of receptors because it has been altered by the presence of these medicines. And when you go off of them, it takes time for the brain to recalibrate the number of receptors that are needed. And if you go off of it too quickly, not only do you sometimes have a relapse of the original symptoms you went on it for, the depression or maybe the anxiety symptoms, but also there can be a whole long list of really unpleasant withdrawal symptoms, things like fatigue, nausea, pain in your muscles, difficulty sleeping, really bizarre dreams, anxiety, and even these electric shock sensations.
This topic is being addressed by, I believe, two medical professionals in London, and they decided to address the topic in part because they had some really bad experience, I guess, with the medication, correct? Or
yes,
withdrawing from the medication.
Yeah. Yes, and they looked at the evidence that was out there. They really dug deep into the literature and found, for example, a study that was published in 2010 with Japanese researchers finding 78% of people who tried to taper off of one of the antidepressants, it's called Paxil, had severe withdrawal symptoms. That's 78%. But when they had them withdraw much more slowly over that 9 months to 4 years, only 6% of the people had withdrawal symptoms. Another study that was published just last year, 2018, found that for people who had had trouble stopping either Paxil or Effexor, when they went off of this, incrementally slower withdrawal of the medicine down to a 40th of the original dose, they were much, much more successful and had fewer withdrawal symptoms.
You know, more than 15 million Americans, Dr. Mazes, have taken these medications for at least 5 years, and that's a rate that has almost more than tripled since the year 2000, according to the New York Times analysis. Were these medicines designed, Dr. Mazes, for long-term use?
Well, they weren't necessarily designed for long-term use, but depression can be a recurrent problem. And so sometimes the thought process is, you're doing so well, maybe just stay on it. And if you're completely asymptomatic on it and you have done really well and maybe you really struggled with depression in the past, that may be a reasonable thing to do. But a lot of people have side effects from antidepressants, and they have sexual side effects that they find troubling. They have other kinds of side effects in terms of their mood and their affect. So they really do want to go off of them once they feel better. And going off can be challenging. It depends a little bit on the half-life. So some of the medicines have very short half-lives, which means they get out of your body really fast, like Paxil and Zoloft. And others have, like Prozac, have longer half-lives. And for each of these, the tapering and the recommendations about how to go off is going to differ a little bit. So you do want to be speaking with your doctor about this, but you want to be raising the possibility of going off more slowly, and especially if you have had any trouble in the past with withdrawal symptoms. It's something that you want to work out a plan. And then, of course, there's all of the other things that people can do
yes.
to reduce the likelihood of recurrence.
And that's what I wanted to talk about, some of the other things that people can do rather than go on these antidepressants in the first place. And so for some people, this should not be the first course of action. Correct, Dr. Mazes?
Absolutely. So it absolutely depends on the severity of your symptoms and the duration of your symptoms. You know, for depression to be diagnosed, you want to have a lot of symptoms pretty consistently, depressed mood and a diminished interest in almost all of the things that gave you pleasure. You may have weight loss or perhaps weight gain and a change in your sleep, fatigue, a feeling of being worthless, or a lot of guilt, difficulty concentrating, sometimes suicidal thoughts. So that's severe depression, and sometimes that absolutely can require medication. But it's not the only option, especially if your symptoms are not as long-lasting or as mild. In that case, we always recommend lifestyle like physical activity. Lots of studies that show that physical activity can be helpful for mitigating depression. We recommend a healthy diet. The anti-inflammatory diet has been shown to reduce the likelihood of depression. We recommend that people get adequate sleep, that they go out in the daytime and get exposed to vitamin D. And then there's a number of dietary supplements that also has been shown to be helpful.
Could you give us a couple of those supplements?
Sure. So omega-3 fatty acids can be helpful. They have been studied as an adjunct to antidepressants and often allow people to use a much lower dose. St. John's wort can be effective. That you want to be very careful because it can interact with a lot of different medicines. But if you're not on any medicines, that has been extensively studied and shown to be helpful for mild to moderate depression. Folic acid, and in general the B vitamins, help all of the neurotransmitters in your brain work more effectively, and so they can bump up your serotonin too. There are many, many others that are sometimes used, like S-adenosyl methionine or SAMe, L-tryptophan. There's just a whole wide range that have been studied.
Getting back here, I want to recap the way our conversation began today with Dr. Weil. We had someone call and asked if you would define for us what is integrative medicine? What is the definition of it, Dr. Mazes?
Well, integrative medicine is really the medicine of the future. It is the thoughtful synthesis of all of the things we value in Western or conventional medicine, and it brings tremendous attention to lifestyle to promote well-being and prevent illness. All the chronic diseases that we face as a nation can mostly be prevented through a healthy lifestyle. And then it brings in things that often aren't taught in medical school, whether that's when to use traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture, when you can use dietary supplements or botanicals, when manipulation, osteopathic manipulation or chiropractic manipulation can be of value. So it brings in all of these other strategies that are safe and effective and are often not included in most doctors' trainings.
Well, it's we began this segment with that very good news about the naming, $15 million commitment by Dr. Andrew Weil to name the UA Center for Integrative Medicine. That brings his total giving to $20 million. Also, three endowed chairs, of which you will have one of them. Which one is yours? You are the endowed chair in integrative medicine, is that correct? The Weil
Endowed Chair. Andrew Weil, yes. Chair in Integrative Medicine. Yes, I'm very honored to hold that chair.
All right. Dr. Mazes, we will let you go, and I really appreciate it and convey my thanks as well. And congratulations to Dr. Andrew Weil. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mazes with us on the Buckmaster Show. She is now the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine, and the center now is known as the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Okay, we're coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. On 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll take our break right here. When we come back, our quarterly Arizona Water Report. And Karen Caesar will be joining us on the live line from Washington, D.C. So that's coming up next on the show.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this midweek edition on a rather blustery afternoon in Tucson, Arizona, as we hit 12:34 exactly. Once a quarter here on Buckmaster, we focus on one of Arizona's most important, if not the most important resource, and that's water. It's our Arizona Water Quarterly, presented by Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, live line from Washington, D.C., Karen Caesar. Karen is a member of the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing real well. And how's everything in D.C.?
It's going really well. We're here talking about the DCP, and all of our meetings have gone really well, I'm happy to say.
And I want to talk about what is known as the DCP. That is something we've been hearing a lot about, Karen. It's the Drought Contingency Plan. Let's spend some time talking about it. What is it, in effect?
Well, yeah, I'm so happy to talk about it. The Drought Contingency Plan, or DCP for short, is a set of agreements that are designed to help protect the Colorado River system through voluntary reductions and increased conservation. And the agreements were developed through a very elaborate collaborative process between the federal government, states, water users, Mexico, and CAP, along with the Department of Water Resources, were some of the main participants from Arizona.
Karen, is there just one drought contingency plan?
Well, actually, there is. It's one plan with two parts. There is an Upper Basin DCP, and that involves Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, Wyoming, and the United States. Those are our Upper Basin states. And then there is a Lower Basin DCP, which involves Arizona, California, Nevada, and the United States. And on top of that, there's a companion agreement, which connects those two parts or agreements and also links them to Mexico through a U.S.-Mexico agreement. We need to remember that the Colorado River does flow into the Gulf of California, and Mexico is also a recipient of Colorado River water.
So why was the DCP necessary in the first place?
Well, it was necessary because the risks of Lake Mead falling below critically low reservoir levels have tripled in the past decade. And I've talked a lot about the elevations of Lake Mead and when a shortage would be triggered. So with the reservoir levels dropping, the risk of large-scale reductions to Arizona's Colorado River supply were significant. And it was also threatening the health of the river for all the users. So previous agreements and guidelines, I mean, we've had previous agreements and guidelines have been designed to protect the system against such of these dry times. But with the extended drought, present rain, you know, notwithstanding, they were not going to be sufficient to address the current risk to the system.
So the projections by the government have shown that the DCP would reduce then the risks of Lake Mead, I guess, falling below what are considered critical levels. Is that right?
That's right. The DCP doesn't prevent a Colorado River shortage, but it will help, you know, and particularly thanks to Arizona's innovative water management programs, our conservation, and the collaborative long-term planning, most recently with the DCP and the DCP Steering Committee, Arizona's going to continue to enjoy reliable water supplies. So this is just helping us, as we say, bridge to a drier future. Because the DCP and Arizona's water management framework, we are prepared to handle the effects of drought and a potential Colorado River shortage.
So Karen Caesar, when does this begin? When does the DCP kick in?
Well, that's a really good question. It will start officially being implemented upon the declaration of a shortage on the Colorado River. But prior to that, the work we're doing now, including federal legislation implementing the DCP, is anticipated in 2019, in fact, early 2019. Talking to our congressional members is part of what I've been in Washington, D.C. doing right now. And we're hoping that legislation that we need on the federal level will be introduced within coming weeks, hopefully.
Karen Caesar with us on the live line from Washington, D.C. So, Karen, let's get to the bottom line about all this DCP stuff. So what does it mean to those of us living in Arizona?
Well, I think that what I'd like everybody to remember is three really important things. A Colorado River water shortage, and it's when it happens, not if it happens. A shortage on the Colorado River does not mean Arizona is in a water crisis. And I think there's a lot that's a real easy soundbite to get out there. But a shortage on the Colorado River is not a water crisis for Arizona. And that's in part because we lead the nation with rigorous water conservation and sustainability laws that protect all Arizona water users. And most importantly, the DCP, this new plan, provides the plan of how Arizona cities, agriculture users, industries, tribes, and others will share Colorado River water supplies during shortages while honoring the existing priority system. So we've really planned for this, and it's a managed situation. Like I said, everybody that was involved in the DCP should be very proud of the work they did in coming together to come up with a consensus plan.
Since we're talking about the topic of water supply and shortage, Karen, we've had a lot of rain and snow in Arizona lately. We had a pretty good rain while you've been in D.C. I think the totals are close to about an inch over the last 24 hours, just in Tucson. So will this prevent this winter's rain, a shortage in 2020 that we've been talking about recently?
Well, you know, the truth is it's too early to say. It's always great news, and frankly, I'm always sad when I'm out of town and miss rain in Tucson, but I'm so happy that we got some good rain and this moisture. But, the reality is one good storm or even one good winter is not going to solve our long-term water issues. And it may not be enough to fend off a shortage in 2020. We're tracking snowpack, everything. But right now we're cautiously optimistic, but time will tell if we're going to be in a shortage in 2020.
How has the snowfall been in Colorado, which of course is critical to the water flow on the Colorado River?
Right, and that's and all the rain we get in Tucson, which is great for our aquifer, great for our plants, great for that. Yeah. None of that rain directly adds any elevation or adds more water to Lake Mead. That is the Colorado Rockies and the snowpack. So we've had great news from the Upper Colorado River Basin. Snowpack is 116% of normal.
Good.
And right now, and skiers are very happy too, I know. Right now the April to July inflow into Lake Powell, and again, Lake Powell is upstream of Lake Mead, and so that's our first kind of measuring basin, is projected to be 84% of the 30-year average. So, things are looking really good this year.
So the levels in lakes Powell and Mead are both rising.
They're currently rising. Lake Mead is currently at an elevation of 1087, and your listeners will hopefully remember that the magic number in which a tier one shortage will be declared is elevation 1075. So Mead is 41% of its capacity, and Lake Powell is sitting at an elevation of 3572, which is 38% of its capacity. So, you just look at those numbers. They're both less than half full, and so that goes back to one good snow season isn't going to be enough to reset these reservoirs up to full levels. It will help, but it's not going to be enough. But overall, in the Colorado River supply, it looks like there's almost 24.5 million acre feet of storage in the system. So, like I said, we're really optimistic, and certainly would appreciate being able to delay a shortage declaration even by another year.
Will we know? I mean, when will we know for sure whether there is this shortage declaration for 2020?
Well, the Bureau of Reclamation, and they are really they're the federal government agency that manages and is really in charge of all of the Colorado River. I was able to also meet with some officials from the Department of Interior and BOR while I've been here. They release a 24-month study every month. They do a 2-year look ahead, but the critical study is released in August of every year. And at that time, after the snow melt of the winter, they have a pretty good idea where the elevation of the lakes are going to be, and they can project where they're going to be at the end of the year. And that's when they make the actual determination of a shortage or not in the upcoming year. So, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see, and it really won't be until the fall, maybe at my September visit with you, we will have the official word as far as a shortage or not in 2020.
Well, I think overall it's pretty good, pretty darn good news, Karen Caesar.
Oh yeah, our weather outlook and the water outlook is so much better than it was a year ago at this time. So that's really good, and look forward to hoping to continue some snow. I know it's hard for the people that are snowed in and this the kids that get snow days, they're happy. But we do really really appreciate them, and glad that we're getting a lot of snow in the Colorado Rockies.
Karen Caesar, a member of the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board, thank you very much. Karen, have a safe trip from Washington back to Tucson. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Karen Caesar with us on our Arizona Water Quarterly Report presented by the Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future. We're at 12:45 on 10:30 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. Coming up next, new legislation designating the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area. What does that mean? We'll talk to Buckmaster Show contributor on archaeology, Dr. Bill Doley, right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
I'm Brett Holland, president of Gecko Pest Management. At Gecko Pest Management, we believe the best defense is a good offense. We establish an undetectable zone around your home and critical areas where we know termites want to enter. When termites travel through this zone, they unknowingly gather and then transfer material to their nest mates that soon gets spread throughout the colony and wipes them out. Eliminate the colonies and there is no threat to the home. Here at Gecko Pest Management, we are proud of our Better Business Bureau A+ rating and the Angie's List Super Service Award. Visit us at geckopest.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You know, it makes such a nice road trip, just about 3-hour drive. Not bad at all. Over to Silver City, visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the complete listing of the many great places to stay. There's some really nice accommodations in that area and all sorts of recreation opportunities. If you have not been to the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, it is certainly worth a visit when you're in the Silver City area. The monument is a very pleasant drive just north of Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for more information. Well, after more than a decade of building a broad base of bipartisan support, the Santa Cruz Valley in southern Arizona has been designated as a National Heritage Area. This is certainly welcome news to the Buckmaster Show contributor on archaeology. He is Dr. Bill Doley, the president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization here in Tucson. Bill Doley joins us now on the live line. Bill, congratulations. This is wonderful news.
Thank you, Bill. It's been a long, long, hard hoe here, but we're just literally celebrating the fact that this has finally come around the bend and it's going to happen. So, yes, happy day.
I remember you telling me about this really perhaps maybe 15 years ago. So this has really been a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, this we started the conversation back in 2003, 2004. It had actually produced a what's called a feasibility study back in 2005. And there was just a process of new heritage areas just weren't getting established after, a little bit after that time. And so it just was a process of, fortunately, Congressman Raul Grijalva, who actually introduced the bill first with the partner of Gabrielle Giffords when she was still representing the Cochise County area. So it goes back that kind of time depth as a bill. And the congressman has just continued to move it forward every opportunity that there's been. And finally, the folks in Congress, there was a need for a catalyst to bring a lot of different things together, all these different public lands issues. The Land and Water Conservation Fund was approved in this omnibus bill that was recently approved. And President Trump signed it yesterday. So it's now law, and part of that big package is the new Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area.
I think it helped, Bill Doley, that Tucson was designated in 2015, 4 years ago, as that UNESCO, that United Nations City of Gastronomy. That might have been a nice catalyst to this.
That was one of the elements of, working toward this heritage area. That was kind of something that butted off from that process and did succeed, where UNESCO reviewed. It took two rounds to get through that one. That wasn't easy either. But it, now Tucson is thriving as an international UNESCO city of gastronomy.
People can find out a lot more about the new heritage area in a special edition of Archaeology Southwest magazine. I received my copy a week or so ago. It's titled Tucson Underground. This is a real special edition that is worth keeping, that really traces Tucson's heritage. What is it, about 4,000 years, Bill Doley?
Well, the agricultural heritage is at least that deep, and I think that was one of the things that connected to the city of gastronomy idea, for example, that there's people have been growing maize and developing a local cuisine for, for millennia. And so what we tried to put together in this magazine was not just what's happening downtown, but what's happening all across the Tucson basin. And this heritage area gives that opportunity to expand to the entire watershed of the Santa Cruz, starting at the international border and including the Cienega Valley east of Tucson and up to the county line with Pinal County on the north, so up where Marana is. So that big context for this incredibly rich history, the environmental riches, some of the interpretive themes that were developed back in that feasibility study focus on our sky islands and the desert seas, streams in the desert, bird habitats and migration routes, and of course, Native American lifeways. So the depth of what has gone on here, Spanish and Mexican frontier, Tumacacri National Monument will be the partner, the National Park Service partner in this new heritage area. And the nonprofit Santa Cruz Valley Heritage Alliance will be the coordinating entity that works with the Park Service and community members to really put this opportunity to promote Tucson and the whole valley's heritage to it's an educational and heritage-related, like tourism, that sort of thing will be promoted. There's no legal impacts to people's property rights or zoning, those kinds of things. So it's a very positive kind of way to celebrate the rich history of this place.
Only have about 2 minutes left, and I do want to talk a little bit about a big public lands issue. This morning, Representative Grijalva held a hearing to investigate President Trump's downsizing of the Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments in southern Utah, something you've articulated for us here on the radio. Can you kind of give us a bottom line, what went on today?
Yeah, I wasn't able to listen to the entire thing, but it's unfortunately there's a lot of counter arguments and arguments going back and forth. We're still in that there's a lot of argumentation going on, but I think trying to the exciting thing was to see three tribal voices up there talking about Bears Ears and underscoring their deep connections to that landscape, and to get that out on the table. We now have two Native American women who are congressional representatives, and Deborah Hallen is on the Natural Resources Committee that was holding the hearing there, and her presentation was very emotional in the way she thanked the tribal members to come and share their stories there. So it's a process. I think the more people are aware of this, the better we all are, and that to realize that the conversation needs to keep going on, and hopefully people will actually start listening to one another across that divide there.
Bill Doley with us, president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization based in Tucson. Bill's also one of two dozen Two dozen contributors. It's grown to over 25 or 6 contributors to a regular basis to our program. Bill, about the magazine Archaeology Southwest and this kind of the special issue that I urge folks to get a hold of. It's called Tucson Underground. It's really a collectible. Where can people obtain it?
Well, our website is www.archaeologysouthwest.org. Or we've been able to distribute it to the Friends of Tucson's Birthplace and the Tucson Presidio Museum free of charge. So they're using it as fundraisers for themselves. So any of those places, you can Google them, and they're important places that are going to, again, make this heritage area work, and they're making Tucson's history come alive as we speak.
Bill Doley, always a pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
That's it for the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Bob Dio on the other side of the glass did a great job today. Good hour of content, I think, as usual, on Buckmaster. Steve Rivera, Eye on the Ball, the sports show coming up next. He'll probably have an update on how the Arizona Wildcats are doing in round one of the tournament. So far, not so great, yeah. And down by a few. All right, that's it on Buckmaster. Have a great day.